getting money ain't no to me. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the 503 for the Fans podcast. This is episode 2 of season 2. It's Noah here. I'm sitting with my boys, Sam and Fallon. Say what's up, guys.
What's up, boys?
What's up? And it's going to be a great podcast, great episode. We got a lot to talk about, and I'm really excited to dive into this. We're about 3 days away from tip-off to season opener against Denver. It's going to be a hell of a game. Let's get into this. Enough of that. Oh, let's talk about the preseason wrap up, what we saw from some new players and more. Initial thoughts, I would say only one game was televised, so it was harder for us to watch all five of them. I think I watched 4 out of 5. I think they watched like 2 to 3 out of 5. But what was your at least initial thought from this preseason, Fulton?
From what I saw, I watched the very first game against Denver, and what I saw was a lot of determination that we actually want to be good. Like, I know it's preseason and all, but like the first few like possessions, it was clunky because we were new, obviously, and the whole game was clunky. But we still, I don't know, it felt different, even though we lost. It was like a different vibe that they brought throughout the whole game that I was never like, you know, sad that we were down in the game. I don't know.
Exactly. And yeah,
and I mean, I think for the reason for that is the new secondary being that young versus having Aminu and Harkless, where they were a little older, and Ant is what, 20?
Zach is 21.
How old's Mario? Like 24. Yeah. Kent is like what, 25, 26. So
Kent's a little more up there. But they're young.
We're young, and I mean, it's their first preseason together. We got so many free agents. It's gonna take some time to gain the chemistry, gain knowing where people is at. So, I mean, like Fulton said, it was clunky, but they show determination that they want to win.
Exactly, and I'll say my initial thought on this preseason was to gel the players more. I mean, it sucked that Whiteside had to get an ankle injury and kind of miss some periods of time where he could have gelled with the team more. But I would say my initial thought is just this team is different than past years, like Fulton said. The coaching staff is really coming this year, really thinking like, hey, we got a shot to win the title. Like, I've never in my 21-year life seen the Blazers act like this. And, I mean, I saw them, I was, what, a year old in 2000 when they legit thought the last time they could win a championship.
Yeah.
So, it's really a really new deal. Coming into the season thinking you're going to be – you have a chance at the finals is a great, great thing to have. This team has a lot of new players. They got a lot of new players to fit in and see where they fit in rotations. But it was a good preseason. The game that really excited me most was the Utah game. The offense, Dame and CJ had a combined 53 points. Dame had 25, CJ had 28. CJ looks like he's even taking his game up to the next level. I don't even know how that's possible. His range is looking way more phenomenal.
His ability to draw fouls.
Exactly. I think he's in for a big season. We'll talk about that later, but let's move on. I don't know. We haven't seen much of him, like I said, but what's your initial thoughts on Whiteside's fit with the team so far in Fulton?
Just like every other Blazer that comes in with, you know, this group of guys and Terry and all them, he just looks comfortable. Like, he looks like it's a fresh start for his career, and he's exactly right. It is. He needs to treat it like that, and he'll do great things for us, I believe.
I think Terry's putting him in the exact role to excel. Like, a couple games that he did play, the big screens that he sets for Dame to get around, it's super easy. Dame's quick. Whiteside's huge. He literally is, like, just a stick on the court. He's comparable to Nurkic, and I mean, he might set harder picks than him too.
I think my initial thought on Whiteside is I can see where people, but it's preseason. I can see where people get mad at him because his body movements looks so slow at times.
Oh,
but
I agree. I mean, he does look sluggish and slow on the court sometimes.
He's a 7-footer with very long arms. Very long arms. He has a lot to like push his body forward, if you're gonna say that. But he looks, he just swallows every rebound up. I've personally not seen a Blazer like this swallow. I mean, Ed Davis did it, but it was in a different way. It was like wrestling people off.
Tenacious.
But Whiteside just swallows them.
No competition.
I honestly wouldn't be surprised if he averages 12 rebounds, 13 rebounds this year.
100%.
I think, yeah, my initial thoughts is that he really swallows up. His energy needs to be there all the time, and if it's there all the time, the Blazers are going to get a hell of a player.
A big thing for him, I think, is that we forget that when he was in Miami and he was excelling and succeeding, that he was like the center point of the offense with Wade. Like, they were running a pick and roll scheme, and he would get the ball in the post and just go to work, and he was a big boy. For this offense, he's got to adapt to, you know, screen and roll, getting a space down low in the paint, and not just standing on a pick and roll type situation.
Exactly. Good thoughts. I totally agree with that. I think he's gonna have to learn how to fit this offense, but this offense really, really fits his style really well, because the Miami, like he said, he didn't say this, but Miami didn't have shooters like Portland did. They've never had shooters like Portland has. Portland has a lot of spacing for Whiteside. Teams aren't gonna be able to pack the paint and just triple team him in the post.
Exactly.
And that's what happened in Miami. He got double teamed and he started getting frustrated. They have no shooters to help him out. And you got Damon CJ out there, which is the defense's first priority. So let's move on. I think Whiteside's going to be a good addition. I'm really excited to see him. And let's move on. Thoughts on Mario Hanzonia and how well he is fit and play with this team. I'll go first because I got some words to say about this guy. I think he's out for a breakout year. I think he's even more out for a breakout year than Whiteside. And I wouldn't say that before this preseason happened, but he has looked insane in this offense. He's pushing up the ball every single second he gets it. He's dunking. He's hitting 3-point shots. I think he hit 4 threes against Utah. I don't know. He's
playing like a point forward, honestly.
Exactly. He's playing like a 96 overall 2K point forward, if you get the reference. But I'm just saying, he's looking he is what Terry Stotts always wanted Evan Turner to be. 100%. And that's 100%.
He just looks more comfortable than Evan Turner ever did already. Like,
5 in preseason games.
This is our scheme, the play calling, and our locations. Like, it's going to be perfect for him. I don't know. It just looks like he brings a spark off the bench.
Oh, yeah.
When nothing he like comes off. And he's always ready to pass the ball and distribute it to guys who are open versus being selfish when he was playing on the Knicks.
So, or the Magic, exactly. Yeah.
Like you both said, when I saw him against Denver in the very first game even, he just showed a different kind of confidence. Like, he's on a winning team. Like, we could do something this year, and he's going to be a big contributor, and he knows that. So I feel like he's going to attack this regular season. Like, this is his career year. Like, this is where he breaks out.
I totally agree with that one.
I would think, and I'm not to excuse, because he's had some iffy years in being a top 5 draft pick. And, I mean, he's gone to 2 very pathetic organizations so far in his – I'm sorry, Magic are kind of on the rise, but the Knicks are a mess.
But just shows that the potential is still there.
Exactly.
Basically.
He's 24 years old. The sky's the limit for this guy in this offense. I mean, his game – I'm going to say this. If he's not a top 5 pick talent-wise, because he can't score 25. He's not going to give you 25 a night. He's not going to give you 20 a night. He's not the type of player. His game really fits this backup point guard, point forward role. Like, I've never seen anything like it. I mean, he gives me really, really bad Rudy Fernandez vibes off just, like, the energy. And I think he's going to become a quick fan favorite. So, enough about Mario. Shout out to him. I think he's going to be in for a huge year. So, let's move on. Anthony Simons, I think he's ready to replace Seth Curry's role. What's your guys' thoughts?
100%. That's pretty much all I got to say.
yeah, just like he said, 100%. But one thing that Anthony's just got to keep working at his age, like, he's got to realize that he's still 20. He's not going to be, you know, what he wants to be yet. But this year is the year that he, you know,
excels.
Progresses from a 19-year-old, 20-year-old high school, you know, rookie to I'm a sixth man. Like, this is my business.
And
now,
you're not no sixth man on just some team.
No.
You're a sixth man on a team that just went to the Western Conference Finals last year, has two players in their prime trying to win a championship.
Yeah,
like,
that's a huge
A lot is on his shoulders. This team is putting the trust in him. They didn't go out and get themselves a veteran point guard and said, hey, we don't trust you. They said, this is how much we believe in you. This is how much we think how good you are. And we're going to give you the keys to the backup, the offense. And we're going to later give you the keys to the franchise when Dame retires. So
they did exactly what I was hoping they would do this offseason and keep him
and this what makes
him in a bigger role.
This is what makes him happy also, because this kid knows he's got to the NBA and says, oh, I got talent. Like,
he has a whole team behind him that believes in him.
Exactly.
Like, he's got Dame to shadow. Like, there's no other better situation for him than being in Portland.
No, exactly.
He's just going to, like I said, take the next step this year.
You got two fantastic – I mean, what a role to come into. You got two all-star guards to represent your game behind and learn from. So I'm really excited. I mean, there's going to be a lot of Blazers success to come in years in the future, and it's really exciting. I'm really excited to see him this year, seeing a full year of him, seeing those hops come out to play. He's going to wake up the world. It's kind of waking up a little bit. Teams like Woj, like people like that, Zach Lowe, know about him, and they know how good he is. So it's going to be exciting. And let's take a second here. I'm going to ask you guys this. If Mario Hanzonia and Anthony plays well, and say Scal plays well, Paul Gasol, does this bench have the potential to be better than last year's?
Yes, but I mean, a lot of that weighs on, I would guess you could say, Scal. I don't know how much they plan on playing him, really. I'm not going to say I hope they don't give him a bunch of minutes, because he does show potential, but I don't know. He's just still really inconsistent at this time, honestly.
Still looks raw in areas.
Yeah, he's still very raw.
I'm sorry, but he needs to be in the game over Pau Gasol, though. Like, if I see that guy, like, no disrespect to Pau Gasol. He's an absolute legend. Like, no disrespect. He's perfect for our bench. He's that franchise, you know, veteran that we need. Yeah, he's the veteran we need, who has a championship under his belt, so that's even better. But no, for Scal, like, he showed in the preseason and last year in a couple games that he can do, you know, well with 10 minutes, you know, 8 minutes even, just small doses until Nurk gets back. But then, like, when Nurk gets back, we have those three big men with Zach, Hassan, and Nurk. Like, it's just, I don't know.
I mean, I think a big thing for Scal would be his feeding. Like, his feet are super slow when he's down in the post, and if he can just develop himself, like we said, he's still pretty raw. I think he could definitely be something a little better.
Yeah, but to answer the question on our bench being better,
it's hard to tell.
It's really going to be difficult, because Rodney was a big part of our bench at the second portion of the year last year, and so him not being on the bench is like, we'll see what Bazemore does as that.
Exactly. And I agree with you. And to comment on Scal, this guy's only 23 years old. So, I mean, the Blazers have got these, like, career-tallied players, like, low-tallied. I mean, Mario Hanzonia is 24 years old. He's on a veteran's minimum contract. The Blazers find these players, and they always excel at making these players better than what they have been perceived to be. And I agree with you guys. I think they have some guys that were on the bench last year and that aren't going to be on the bench this year, like Zach Collins, like Rodney Hood. But I will say the potential of this bench is better just based off Anthony Simons, because Anthony is in Kent probably could give you 20 points off the bench combined. Easy. I mean, I would say that. I mean, Kent could give you 10 easily, and so could Anthony. So I think you got two guards right off the bench that have some scoring punch to them. Kent has really shown a lot this preseason. He had 7 steals against Denver. I mean, that's pretty wild.
3-and-D specialist.
Exactly. And we haven't had someone like him off the bench. I mean, I would say he's a little better on the defensive side than Rodney Hood. That's not a diss to Rodney Hood, but Rodney Hood's going to be one of our best defenders this year. But I would agree with you guys. I think it's the potential is better, but I think the Blazers were a little deeper in areas. They had Enes Kanter coming off the bench last year. I would agree. So I'll ask you guys this also. What should Blazer fans expect from a full season of Rodney Hood?
now that he's starting, if we gel like I think we will, I think he might average 18 plus a game.
I mean, I'm
around there. I was going to say around 15.
Okay. Yeah, I would 15 to 17, 18. I think he's going to – I think why I think you think that, Fulton, is because Dame and CJ literally – I don't know. They might take up – they're in the top 10. Dame is definitely in the top 10 of creates the most attention on defense. I mean, the defense just smothers him.
Double teams, traps.
I mean, it's going to be like that again. I hate to say it, but Rondy's going to be the guy to end that. Rondy's going to be that guy sitting in the corner, hitting threes, putting daggers on him. They're going to say, "Hey, we can't double Dame anymore. Like, we got to." There is no Al-Farouq Aminu in the corner anymore. There is no Mo Harkless in the corner anymore.
I just want to point in, like, now that you said that, I think that's the biggest thing with our team this year. That's the biggest difference. Is that's going to open up Dame so much because we don't have Mo Harkless anymore. We don't have Aminu anymore. We have our defensive guys, our shooters as well. Bazemore, Hazonia, Rodney Hood.
Even Zach Collins.
Zach Collins. Literally. Tolliver. All of them shoot.
Exactly. And you got guys that can space this year, and that's why I think they're so confident in this team this year. Dame really knows that, hey, like, I got shooters around me, like nothing but shooters. Like, they're really all in for this, and I'm all in for it too. I mean, we've shown that we can't shy away from that full defensive side, but in this NBA, you cannot have more than two players on the court that can't shoot. You can't.
No, absolutely not. It would bunch it up way too much, and the way that the defenses are, it's just they're too quick and no.
Exactly. And people are going to pack the paint. People are going to double team Dame. It exactly what happened the past 4 years. This team is different. I'm really excited. I think Rodney Hood's going to have a career year. I think he's going to go back to his Utah days, and I really do. I think he is going to be a stud this year. So we'll talk about the Blazers' first five games, and we'll give our predictions. I'll go first. They play Denver, Sacramento, Dallas, Spurs, and OKC. They play Denver at home, and then they play the next four on the road. That's going to be a big task for a team that has this many new players. That Dallas-Texas road trip is always a tough one, going to Dallas and the Spurs back-to-back. That's going to be a tough one for them. And Sacramento's a good team. I mean, that's a Friday night game. That's nothing guaranteed. And OKC is not they are a bad team, but they're not the worst team out there. They have Chris Paul as their point guard, and he's still capable of giving some jolt. So I would say they go 4-1 here. I think 4-1. It's not fair to say, hey, they're just going to be 5-0. They're just that type of team. Even if they go 4-1, that's still really good. I'll go 4-1. What about you, Fulton?
My hot take is that we take, like, I'm gonna talk about this in a few minutes, but I'm gonna say it now anyways. My hot take is that if we win Wednesday, that we will win all five, because I feel like beating Denver is just gonna give us so much momentum going in those next four games on the road. Like, and the caliber of teams that we play, if we can contain De'Aaron Fox in Sacramento, we contain DeMar DeRozan. Those are like the two main guys I'm scared of out of this road trip, besides Luka Doncic. But I'm not scared of Dallas because they have no one around them besides Porzingis and him. That's why I'm not afraid of Dallas. Sacramento's got a lot of players. That's why I need them to contain De'Aaron Fox. And with Dallas and San Antonio is just Greg Popovich. That's all we got to worry about.
Exactly.
Honestly, I would agree with Fulton with the hot take. And just like he said, if we contain, I think we can win all five. But if we don't win the first one, I think, honestly, we go 3-2 in those five.
Okay, that's fair. I would say that, too. If we lose the first one, I think we go 3-2. I think losing a game like Denver at home is kind of would be deflating
that's
to start
a stinger,
the year.
For sure.
Yeah,
that
would be deflating. So I'll agree with you guys. So let's move on. I've asked this question in the first episode, and we talked about it a little bit earlier. CJ's range looks even more improved. I don't know exactly, like I said, I don't know how that's even possible. I mean, someone who just killed it last year. Like after he got hurt, I mean, he in the playoffs he looked like a top 10 player, and it's, I mean, he's, I'm sorry to say, he's not a really a top 10 player. He's a ESPN, according to ESPN, he's a top 15. So I mean, he's 13th. I mean, this year I could say that because Klay Thompson and Victor Oladipo 100%. Are hurt. And I would, you could argue that CJ's the second best shooting guard in the league this year with those guys out.
And now with Klay out, I think that CJ can definitely make a run for the All-Star game.
Exactly. 100%. And that's what I say is this the year he makes himself a first time All-Star? And yeah, I would say yes. I think he's going to get some more run. I think I don't think Anthony's going to get the full keys to the second unit right away. I think they'll integrate him into it a little bit. I think they'll make him play off the ball a little bit. I think they'll give it to Hanzonia. I think they'll maybe have CJ take it up.
That also brings up a question I'm going to butt in real quick and kind of bring back to our bench. Like we were just talking about, Anthony getting the keys to the second unit, but CJ is going to be bringing the ball up for the second unit. But let's talk about Hanzonia, because we've talked about him being, you know, like a Ben Simmons, you know, two-way forward kind of guy. What do we say he takes over the second offense if Anthony, you know, wants to play like a CJ?
Yeah, play off ball and get open like CJ does, mid-range and three-point. Like,
that might be Anthony's smartest move. And I don't think it's fair to give a 20-year-old kid the ball and have him, he's going to turn over the ball. Nothing. You're going to have growing pains in this league. He's not going to be 100%. And he's shown in the preseason, he's shown his age a couple times. I mean, he's taken a couple shots that were questionable. He's made some questionable passes, but I think
that's part of his confidence, though, too, because he's got to be glowing right now, honestly.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And he's got to show something in the preseason. And he did. And he showed, I mean, he put a spin move on Mike Conley that was pretty impressive, I mean, for a 20-year-old. And that's a top 10, top 5 guard defender in the league.
Yeah. I mean, as long as he keeps playing like he's got something to prove, I think he definitely is going to excel.
Yeah, and I think so, too. Like you said, Fallon, I think Hanzonia, I think he's more than I think he's a little more capable than taking the ball handling skills right now than Anthony. And that's not saying anything against Anthony, but I think that is a good point. I think I would have no problem with him taking the keys to that, honestly. So I've kind of been advocating for this for the Blazers. Recently, 2 days ago, a day ago, Alphonso McKinney just got waived by the Warriors. He's a 3-4 wing type player. I think the Blazers should take a waiver on him for their 15th spot. I mean, if you guys know Alphonso McKinney, what's your thoughts on him?
I mean, honestly, I don't really know if he would be like worth going out and getting. Since he just got released, so he hasn't really been able to be with us during preseason. Get the down the plays and whatnot. I don't really know if it would mesh well, honestly. Like, I know he would be a decent player. He's not a bad player at all, but I don't know if we have a spot to fit him in with who we already have, honestly.
Although I agree with what Sam was just talking about, it brings up the point that Alphonso McKinney, when he played for the Warriors last year and the years prior, we're starting to run the same offense as them now that we have so many shooters. And that's what he did. He sat in the corner for them. He ran around on off-ball situations. He was always a spot-up guy. And his defense could definitely be big on our second unit. So I definitely think it's an add that we need.
No, I think it – and I think he plays a lot like Mo Harkless in a way. I think he's a better shooter than Mo Harkless. I think Mo Harkless is more athletic. And I think maybe a tiny bit better defender, but
– probably.
McKinney he showed some moments against the Blazers, especially in the Western Conference Finals. I mean, he showed some moments. I'm like, hey, this guy's a player. I mean, you got to think that. And for him to be a 15th roster spot, and honestly, I don't know if they go that way. I don't know if they want to take that 15th spot up. I don't know, but I personally think that's someone you should definitely go after. I think that would really solidify that bench. And I think it's something that Oshley kind of prides himself on, is finding these low caliber kind of type deals and making them look way better than they are. I mean, no one thought Enes Kanter was going to be what he was last year for us. No one thought Rodney Hood was going to be what he was for us last year. So why can't Alphonso McKinney? I mean, that's a big, big hype, but I think they should take a look at him. And we'll move on to this. And we kind of gave it up a little bit, but it's hot take time. And It's an exciting time. It's a new segment of the show. We're going to be doing it every episode, so I'm excited. They've already kind of said theirs. I will say this. I think my hot take is, especially if we beat Denver, I know there's a hard back end of the 5 or the 10 games, the 5 through 10. There's more harder games there. But if they beat Denver, I think it will give them tremendous momentum. And I think the Blazers will probably go 9-1 in that 10-game stretch if they beat Denver. That's a big momentum swing, and that's my hot take. If you want to come on Twitter and come at me for saying they're going to be 9-1 in the first 10, go ahead. I'll be responding. But I think they're more than capable of doing that if they win some momentum games. I mean, Fulton and Sam have kind of said theirs, but what do you have to say, Sam?
I guess I could kind of agree. I would say that they go 8-2 if we win that first game. And I think that also weighs on how well we mesh and how well we are tempered to each other on the court. I mean, it's going to take some time to see how they all play together and how they, like, just how on off-ball screens and the movement is just going to be different. It's just going to be hard to mesh, honestly.
Exactly. I think it's kind of rude of me to say, hey, they're going to go 9-1 and kind of expect that, but I think their team will mesh well very fastly. I don't think they have any guys that are going to say, hey, I want this role. They don't have actually one guy on that team. Hassan's really happy with his role, and that's the most guy you could even think that would even touch that territory. So, I think if they got a legit shot to go 8-2, and if they started out 8-2, I mean, and they, I think they have like a top 5 hardest schedule through the first month or through like all of November. So if they get out to the start like that, I mean, watch out. They could be a top 2 seed if they're getting like that. And do you have anything to say, Fulton?
Yeah. To add on to what I said earlier about my hot take to winning the first 5 if we beat Denver, I am also going to add that if we want to win those, you know, we want to go 8-2. We want to go 9-1 those first 10. We got to show that we actually want to, you know, be consistent all season. Because I've seen Blazer teams in the past to where, you know, we're good and we know we're good, but we're going to, you know, take a little break here to start. Or we start off hot, take a little break, and then finish out strong. We need to, for us to make a big push and, like, for us to get people's attention to make a, you know, a championship run, I think staying consistent and wanting it all year is going to make us go 9-1.
Yeah, losing the streakiness, for sure. I could agree with that one.
Yeah, and I would say, before we get into our last segment, I would say that there was some players like that last year, and Mo Harkless, I would say, is number one, because I know, excuse my French, I know damn well this guy did not give it his all in the beginning of the season until after the All-Star break. There was nothing like post-All-Star break Mo. Like, he brought his game to an entirely new level. I mean, I get it. You want to prepare your body a little bit, but those first couple months are very, very critical to a team's success. And
especially with a new team to mesh like this. Like, we have so many new ads, new young guys coming up, getting bigger roles. Like, we have to want it all the time this year.
Exactly. And especially with how balanced the league is now. I mean, there's not as many off nights as there was in the past couple of years. I mean, the bottom teams Phoenix, you saw what they did to us in the preseason. I mean, their shooters were, they hit a franchise record against us in a preseason game. They hit like 25 threes.
Like, Dallas is considered a bottom team still this year, and they have Porzingis and Doncic.
They could very well be an ace seed. Exactly. See, that's what I'm saying. I mean, the East has more kind of bottom feeders with the Hornets, Washington. You could go on, but they have more bottom, Cleveland, but they got more bottom feeders over there. But the West, I mean, you can't say one team that is just god awful, and no. You've been able to say that the past couple years.
Maybe the Grizzlies.
But still, you got Ja Morant, you got Jaren Jackson, you got
sure, they're just a really young team.
Well, let's get to the questions though. We got some good questions from some people on Twitter. This is from Everything Cavaliers. Shout out to him. Kevin Love has been linked to the Blazers. Realistically, what would be the most you'd give up for him? Okay. I've actually been saying this, and I've been seeing some very sus, if you guys, or sketchy trade demands on Bleacher Report. First of all, The Blazers are not a day in their life giving up Zach Collins for Kevin Love.
Absolutely
not.
Oh,
my gosh.
Absolutely not.
If Bleacher Report puts that on their app one more time, I am going to lose it.
Kevin Love is 33 years old and Zach is 21.
I also saw one. It was like Hassan Whiteside, a first-round pick, and Anthony Simons. Absolutely I was like, not. What are you talking about? This isn't Kevin Love on the damn Minnesota Timberwolves. Like,
honestly.
This isn't even first-year Cavaliers Kevin Love. Like, this is 30-year-old. Injury kind of prone Kevin Love here. You're not going to give up that.
Very injury prone Kevin Love.
And I love you. I love some of the Cavs fans because there's some really nice Cavs fans. I do. But Zach Collins is not coming in that deal, and either is Anthony Simons. I would give you guys Gary Trent, and that's not saying anything against Gary Trent, but that is someone that I would be okay with giving up in that essence of, hey, we'll slide you guys maybe a first-round pick, Hassan, and Gary Trent for Kevin. And that's what I'll give you guys.
I was literally going to say Hassan and Gary Trent without the first-round pick. Like, those are the big two that I would give up.
Yeah, and if that's what the Cavs want to do, I mean, you get a really, I would say Gary Trent's not going to be, I wouldn't say a starter in this league, but I think he's going to mesh into a very well shooter off the bench, glue type of guy.
Oh, he could definitely be a great role player. Like, he's a 3-and-D guy, but he's also as athletic as hell. So
yeah, so we'll I'm not downing Gary at all. He's going to be great for us, but I think there's no way you're getting up Zach Collins. I think that's the most you're going to give up is probably Gary and Hassan and maybe a first round. If the Cavs really going to push that, and I would be okay with that. That's going to push a team over something, a hump. So next question, this is from a guy named Taddy. Taddy, shout out to him on Twitter. Is there any solutions of making the regular season shorter without the league losing a lot of money on it?
In the very near future, no.
Okay, I would agree. No, because one, if you shorten the games, that's less profit of games, that's less money coming from these games. I would honestly just say almost eliminate the preseason. Take maybe 2 to 3 games before, maybe 2 games. Give them a couple tune-ups. I don't think 5 games in the preseason is really worth it. And I don't think playing 2 weeks before. I think you could probably shake up that a little bit. And I would also say this, maybe make the first round best of 5. And that's not really the fairest thing to say, but maybe make the first round best of 5. That might make the playoffs move a little faster, I would say. Maybe, I don't know how, especially how you'd go that way, but I would say cut down some areas and areas that don't matter as much.
It would take a lot of adjustment, like, I don't know how they would do that in the near future.
I'll just bring up this point that MLB has been trying to eliminate their season for
162 games.
Yeah, they've been trying to diminish that down for as long as I can remember. You can't diminish 162 games, then there's no way we diminish 82 games. Like, that's kind of where I'm at.
It's all about money, realistically.
The one thing that I think the NBA needs to do, I think the regular season limit is fine and the playoffs are fine. I just think we need to find a way to limit the back-to-backs. That's, I think, a backbreaker for all these players because they're having to travel overnight and then play again the very next night without getting any rest or anything like that, real rest.
I mean, Portland is top 5 in NBA every single year for travel. I mean, they travel the most out of a lot of teams. I mean, they're going from one end of the country to the other a lot of times, and not a lot of teams are doing that. I mean, you got a lot of teams in Texas that are going midway. They have midway to each side, so exactly. It's not travel like that. So Portland has a disadvantage with that. I mean, that's a really good question based on the NBA stance, but yeah, I think there's ways you could take it, but I don't see anything I don't see anything changing in the near future, at least for 5 years or so, honestly. But let's get to the last question. This is from the Ballify podcast. Shout out to them. It's another Kevin Love question. Would you guys prefer the Blazers to acquire Sabonis or Kevin Love? And that's not really fair, but Fallon's making a funny face. Let's see it.
Go ahead.
I was really high on Sabonis in college. I'll give it to you. And I know that he's, you know, the you know Kid Sabonis. That ain't getting me. I'm sorry. I don't want him. I'd rather have Kevin Love. Sabonis just shows that like he's a good player. He's a solid player, but he is a couple tiers under Zach Collins already, and Zach's 21.
Yeah,
I like where you're going there. I like it.
I would much prefer Kevin Love over Sabonis. I know Sabonis has a little bit of upside, but I don't see him getting much better in the coming years.
Sabonis is like, I mean, sure, he's capable of giving you 20 and 10. That's pushing it for him.
Inconsistently.
That's really pushing it for him. But I think, you got to go with Kevin Love, especially with his shooting and capabilities. I mean, you could put Kevin in the corner on this offense, and he would just eat and grab rebounds.
And then he could go baseline and grab boards, like you were about to say.
Or post a little four up.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, Kevin would do a lot for this team. I mean, people are really redundant against Kevin Love, and people really don't like the idea of him, but I'm an advocate for him. I would say he needs to come to the Blazers. And that's going to be it for the show. It's going to been a great episode 2. We should be back this coming Sunday next week before the third game. Well, we'll wrap up the first two games after that. It's going to be a really, really exciting first game against Denver on Wednesday. I'm more than pumped. I think us three are all going to see it. We're going to get together and watch it, so it's going to be a good time. Thank you guys for coming out, and we'll see you guys next time.
Yes, sir. Peace out.
See you later.
Took it over. Not a foreign talk, but dreaming.